The following is a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text 2, given by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded on 20th of June 2007 in Washington, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gyanati Mandasya Gyanandana Satya Chakshumudanyana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Mahavishnu Sāpitāmeya-bhūtale Svayam-rūpa-kadāma-dhādi-svāpam-vandeham Śrī-guru-kīrūpa-kadāma-dhādi-svāpam-vandeham Śrī-rūpa-kadāma-dhādi-svāpam-vandeham Sahāyata-guna-tanvitam-tam-sajevam Sadvaitam-sadhūtam Prajana-saitam Krishna-chaitanya-devam Shri Radha Krishna Prabhu Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikaranta Radha Namaste Sakta Kanchana Gaurangi Hare Vrindavaneshwari Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So very happy to be here at the Bhaktivedanta Yoga Center, or also known as the Bhakti Yoga Center. So I'll lecture on a verse from the 9th chapter, text 2. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Sukukam Kartam Avyayam. The translation is, this knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the Self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So some of you may question, what is the purpose of this Bhakti Yoga Society? We have many such campuses next to universities around the world. In some parts of the world it's called the Bhaktivedanta Yoga Center. In some parts of the world, they know the Bhakti Yoga Yoga Center. And someone may question, what is the purpose of having a yoga center in a campus area? This is like an extension of the Maryland University campus. You can put on Bhakti Yoga Yoga Center, extension Maryland University. They may object, but anyway. So someone may question, what is the purpose of this? So, the purpose is to give people knowledge. Most of us seem to think that when you talk about knowledge, you mean engineering, chemistry, physics, medical, accounting, law, history, geography, sociology, languages, art, martial arts. You know, the different aspects of learning. In many universities, you can virtually get a course on any subject you want. I was told that Calgary University in Alberta I'm sure Maryland University offers a course in virtually everything. So Prabhupada, our spiritual master, whose murti you see here, and next to Prabhupada is the murti of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was once giving a lecture at MIT. You know what is MIT? Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Not Madras Institute of Technology. Okay. So Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And there was a very learned audience. In the audience were professors, intellectuals, students, deans. So Prabhupada opened his lecture with a question. And the question was, he said, in this great university of United States of America, is there any department that tells you what happens after death? And there was complete silence. What happens after death? Is this a subject matter? And then Prabhupada went on to explain how this is very important to understand the science of what happens after death. So the Bhakti Vedanta Yoga Center is going to teach people the art of living and the art of dying. You may say, art of dying? Why should we think about death? It is ridiculous to even entertain that thought. Hopefully, in the next few years, scientists will come up with a formula that will throw the funeral homes out of business. They'll be able to make people deathless. And a certain section of society thinks that death, it's a long way to go. I'm just 20, 25, 30. The average age of the American male is about 70 years old. So even considering that I'll live the average age and not beyond the average age, of course everyone wishes I'll live beyond the average age, I still have a long way to go. So I don't have to worry about that right away. So we may give various arguments to dismiss the concept of thinking what could happen after that or even think about death. But the reality is there's uncertainty in life everywhere, am I right? You were probably born and brought up in America. Now America is considered the world leader in technology, okay? And people all over the world flock to come to this country. Could you deny that there's danger at every step? There's danger at every step, isn't it? And people are also in pain over here. As you were coming down, the devotee who was driving me, Shyam Krishna, was also a doctor. He was telling me that one of the new branches of medical science is a branch of called pain management. Is that right? Are you aware of that? I wasn't quite aware. So what does pain management mean? It's just a decorative term, pain management. How do you manage pain? Just by giving medicine. Anyway, in North America, it's a custom to use fancy titles that sound very decorative. So this is a decorative title, pain management. If you are in pain, where's the question of managing a pain? You know, you can just try and take painkillers or injections to try and reduce the pain. Anyway, you can call it pain management. Makes the subject matter look more interesting. So people are in pain, therefore you have a class of doctors specializing in pain management. Am I right? So the reality is, you may have the best of technology. You may have medical devices to keep people artificially alive. You may have machines to keep the heart going, to keep your kidneys functioning. But the reality is, death is going to come at any time for anyone. Old age doesn't spare anyone. Do people get old in America? They do. Do people like getting old in America, Steve?
No.
No. You tell an old man, how young he looks and he gets flattered. Isn't that right? And if you ever want to insult a young man, you just have to tell him how old he looks. And he won't even talk to you again. Isn't it? Because nobody wants to identify with old age, isn't it? You tell anyone, You look 20, 10 years younger. Like some of our devotees told our devotee Narsinghananda today. He said he's 44 years old. And the other said, he doesn't look 44, he was very happy. So, you tell someone, you know, the fact is that nobody likes old age. Nobody likes disease, am I right? The only people who really like disease are, I hate to say that in this assembly, are the doctors, hospitals, and pharmaceutical manufacturers. But if the people didn't get diseased, they'd be out of business. The medical schools will be empty. So the point is, the basic miseries of life go everywhere. So what the Bhakti Yoga Society is going to teach people is how to become deathless. A bold challenge, how to become deathless. That is what Krishna consciousness teaches. How to avoid death. Our spiritual master was once driving in Los Angeles. He saw a big billboard. And the billboard was, it said, "Is there sex after death?" That was the billboard. So Prabhupada commented on this. So this is all they're thinking about, even after death. So the point is, what happens after death? What is our real constitutional position? How can we avoid miseries? How can we find real happiness? It's the subject matter of this ancient book of knowledge called the Bhagavad Gita. Now in the verse that we just read, this was composed in the ancient Sanskrit language. Sanskrit may be foreign to many of us, but it's not foreign to those who've studied languages. Sanskrit is, without doubt, the oldest language on the planet. Even Latin and Greek derived a lot of their sources, information from the ancient Sanskrit language. So Sanskrit is considered the mother of all languages. Unfortunately, it is not as widely used as it should be, but that doesn't deny the fact that Sanskrit is a very ancient language. It's a language of the sages, and it's the mother of many languages. Now, the Bhagavad Gita was composed in Sanskrit language, and Krishna here is saying, this knowledge means the knowledge in this book. This is the king of education. Now the Bhagavad Gita contains a summary of the vast Vedic knowledge. Just like we get different subject matters to learn at the University of Maryland. So the Vedas contain very, very great details about the philosophy of life and how one should worship God. But that knowledge is so vast, even if you were to take several years studying it, you would end up studying only a small portion. So here Krishna says that this knowledge is the king of education. Now someone may question, how is this the king of education? Because certainly if you get this knowledge, it's not that the moment you have this knowledge, it's like having a Harvard degree and you get a job right away. So why is this called the king of education? Because it educates you to understand material science and spiritual science. The knowledge that you get in the universities and in the research institutes around the globe only help us to understand what is good, how we can make the body more convenient, how we can give the body more sense enjoyment. Am I right? Nothing beyond that. Is there any discussion about spirit, soul in any university in North America? No. They or around the world? No. So, material knowledge only caters to the body and the extensions of the body. Whereas, spiritual knowledge caters to the needs of the individual, namely the spirit soul. Now, as we said, Bhagavad Gita offers us education in both material science and spiritual science. Table example. I don't know how many of you people know, of course I mentioned it in my earlier lectures, but I don't know. Mike, do you know that America is facing a severe drought right now?
I did not know
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Did you know that?
Some areas,
no, 50% of the country. 50%, is it some or significant? I would say it's significant, isn't it? In 50% of the territory in the United States of America, there is a severe drought. Some states like Montana haven't had rain for 7 years in a row. There are over 1,000 forest fires blazing in this country, and no fire brigade can put it off. People are just praying, when will rain come and put it off? You know, fortunately, this country is blessed with so much land that even if there are 1,000 forest fires, still there's enough land where there's no forest fire. But never the point. So what I'm saying, you may say now, okay, why are you bringing this up for discussion here? What does this have to do with Bhaktivedanta Yoga Center? You know, you may say. So we'll tell you what it has to do. But we were trying to make a simple point that this Bhagavad Gita offers a material solution and a spiritual solution. So in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us the science of attracting Indra's attention. Indra is the demigod in charge of rain. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, food grains come from rainfall. Rainfall comes by performing yajna or sacrifice. And if there's no sacrifice, there'll be no rainfall. If there's no rainfall, then can your land produce vegetables? I don't know how many of you go shopping to the supermarket, but you may have noticed that you're paying almost double for your vegetables this year versus last year. It's not double, you're paying significantly higher. And why are we paying high? Because the crop production's gone down because of drought, etc. Very soon you'll be paying a premium for honey also, because the bees are not producing honey anymore. There's a bee shortage. Because of all these cell phones that you have to have towers everywhere so your cell phones can be connected. These cell phones are creating so much radioactive waves that the bees are losing their ability to navigate. By God's law, the bees can navigate and they come back to their beehives. But now they're not coming back. And as a result, the honey production is suffering and several fruits and flowers will not be taking birth anymore because they need the touch of these bees, etc., for their growth. No amount of technology can adjust that. So what we are seeing today, you probably are tuned up to global warming. What was the temperature in Washington today?
Almost
100. Is this one of the hottest days or no? One of the hottest days. As some of you may know, the prominence of global warming are warning us that the world heat temperature is going to go higher and higher. I heard they just had a heat wave in India in which several people died. And the temperatures are getting warmer. This 2006 was globally the warmest year in 100 years. What the scientists did, they took the aggregate temperature of the whole world and they calculated it. And they found that 2006 was the warmest year in the last 100 years. They have data for only 100 years. In the last 100 years, 2006 was the warmest year. And they are projecting that in another 20 years, England's climate is going to be as warm as India. So you'll say, great, misery loves company. England will also be warm like India. But if England's going to get warm to like India, India's going to get as warm as Sahara Desert. Because India's also getting warmer day by day. It's not that the whole rest of the world will get warmer and India will remain still. So what we are seeing is, what is this global warming the result of? What's global warming the result of? You may say, but Maharaj, what is the spiritual relationship of all this to Bhagavad Gita? We'll show you what the spiritual relationship is. So what is it? What is global warming the result of? Global warming the result of too much emission, releases from the factories, from the cars, cutting the trees. Like in India and Delhi, they made the metro, underground metro. But to make the metro, they cut several thousand trees. And when you cut the trees, then it affects the clouds' ability to absorb water and release it in the form of rain. So the point is, material nature has been made by God in a very scientific way, more scientific than any scientist can even dream of. And when you play with material nature, the material nature strikes back. So now, what are you seeing? The global warming, in simple language, is a result of mankind's greed to have more and more comforts. The Ishapanishad says, Isha Vasha Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyan Jagat, that a man should only keep as much as he needs and not more than what he needs for his survival. In other words, the scripture, Vedic scriptures say our philosophy should be simple living and high thinking. Now our philosophy has become high living and simple thinking. We want to live high. We want to be a step ahead of the neighbor. We want to be a step ahead of competition. We want to be a step ahead of everything. We want so many automobiles on the road. You know, you study the automobiles. An average big car is made to accommodate how many people? Let's say six to be conservative. But if you look at the average car on the road, 95% of the cars have one person in it. So whether you carry one person or six people, it's the same amount of gas. So the point is, we want all these facilities, more cars, more this, more that. And when you do all this, material nature can't support it. And when there's too much burden on the earth, Mother Earth strikes back. So our philosophy is what Bhagavad Gita teaches, simple living and high thinking. Simple living doesn't mean you sleep underneath a tree, but it means you live simply. Minimize your bodily demands so that you can focus on spiritual life also. Now Krishna says, this knowledge is a king of education. Why? This is a king of education because it teaches us about ourselves, the difference between the body and the soul. You may say, but only a handful of people are interested in this philosophy. By and large, everyone wants to cater to the bodily demands. Yes, only a handful will be most intelligent. Once our spiritual master was in Australia, at a press conference, somebody asked him, if your bhakti yoga is so perfect, why isn't this audience fully packed? And Prabhupada reminded the audience that we are selling diamonds, only few will buy. So the point is, this is the king of education because this knowledge gives you, it educates you over the difference between body and spirit, and it also tells you how material nature works. For example, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this material nature is working under my direction. So material nature works under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna says this is the king of education. We are not saying you should not cultivate material knowledge, but as it is said in an ancient book called Sri Ishapanishad, one should cultivate material knowledge and spiritual knowledge side by side. And if you cultivate the two, then you can have success. So what this yoga center is going to do is give the students at Maryland University an opportunity to cultivate material knowledge and spiritual knowledge side by side. Then it is further said, this is the most secret of all secrets. That you may say, why is this a secret? You people freely distribute Bhagavad Gitas on the road. So what's the secret? When you have a Bhagavad Gita discourse, you don't screen your audience. We didn't screen you before coming in, did we? No. So we're discussing it publicly. So how can you say This is the most secret of all secrets. Now, it's the most secret of all secrets from the angle that if you really want to understand this knowledge, you have to take the assistance of a genuine devotee of Lord Krishna. It is but natural that if you want to understand someone, you have to understand him through that agency. If you want to understand about the United States government, you naturally have to deal with the spokesman of the government. So, this knowledge is the king of education, but can be understood with the help of a devotee of the Lord. And if you get it through a devotee, then you can get that potent knowledge as it is. Then it says it is the purest knowledge. So in brief, there are two types of knowledge. One is called relative knowledge, the other is called absolute knowledge. Relative knowledge may be true today, may not be true tomorrow. Absolute knowledge, because it emanates from the Supreme Lord, is eternal. So this is the purest knowledge. Why is it described as the purest knowledge? It is coming from the purest personality, namely God. Is there anyone purer than God? Doesn't matter which faith you belong to. We all say God is great, Allah Akbar. God is the purest. So God is the greatest and God is the purest. And this knowledge, and therefore knowledge coming from God is also pure. Pure knowledge doesn't suffer from any inability or any shortcoming. We may have a tendency to cheat. Our senses are imperfect. We make mistakes. We get illusion. But pure knowledge is not subject to these defects. Then it says, it gives direct perception of the self by realization. This is not just some theoretical knowledge. It's a knowledge that can be put into practice. Someone may say, oh, Bhagavad Gita, this was spoken 5,000 years ago. Before that, it was spoken millions of years ago. Now we are living in modern-day civilization. This is outdated. But it's not outdated. It's not outdated because it is coming from a perfect person. And it can be practiced in today's environment also. What does Bhagavad Gita teach in a sense? Bhagavad Gita doesn't preach inaction, rather it preaches action. It says act, but act for the pleasure of the Lord. You may be a professional, you may be a student, doesn't matter. We have thousands of students around the world who are Krishna conscious and still brilliant in their studies. One of our members, he graduated from university age of 14 in America. He broke all records in America. And then he finished his PhD from Oxford in the age of 19. So this prior philosophy can be practiced. And this is the perfection of religion. What is the real meaning of religion? The real meaning of religion is to develop love of God. These days people are arguing, my religion is better than your religion. So I don't want to listen to you. But it doesn't matter what faith you belong to. The essence of religion is to develop love of God and to give up your love for so-called sinful activities. Just like if you're diseased, you just want a doctor. You don't care whether it's a doctor from Southern or Eastern or Northern or Indian, American, Russian. You just want someone who can treat you. When you have fire, you just call for the fire brigade. You don't necessarily say, I want firemen from this nationality. So the meaning of religion is to develop love of God. And whichever process can help you develop love of God and make you give up your love for sinful activities can be accepted, provided it's a bona fide process. So the perfection of religion is to love God. Religion must include the following ingredients. It must have the ingredient of austerity. It must have the ingredient of truthfulness. It must have the ingredient of austerity, and there must be mercifulness and cleanliness. Austerity, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercifulness. These are the four essential ingredients of religion. And if these are absent, then it cannot be accepted as a bona fide religion. So this is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting. Everlasting means it is permanent, not temporary. It's not limited to time and space. It is permanent. And just like this knowledge that we are reading was first given 5,000 years ago, and prior to that it was given millions of years ago. So this knowledge is not something stale. It's not that you read the Gita today and say it's stale. No, it is everlasting. It is eternal because it's coming from the Supreme Lord. And it is joyfully performed. In other words, anyone who takes to this process will experience real joy. We should not think that if I practice Krishna consciousness, this will not give me some real happiness. You should not think that this is a boring process. It's a process that gives you real happiness, and anybody who experiences it, practices it, can experience it. So this is a process that can be practiced by anyone around the globe. Today the Bhagavad Gita as it is has been translated in more than 100 international languages of the world. People are reading it all over the world and finding peace of mind. So we can have Bhagavad Gita study courses here. Let people study these courses and see. Here's a book that answers all your questions. Here's a book that gives you a path of finding peace of mind. Here's your book that can give you everlasting peace. So this philosophy is practical and it is universal. It's not Indian or Hindu, but it is Vedic and it is for the entire humanity. And anyone who takes to it will find, will experience unlimited happiness. So please take to this carefully, study it, practice it, and perfect your life. Hare Krishna.